Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the July 10 edition of Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing out of Morton, Illinois, Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, and Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. And thank you for listening.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at agrigold.com.
Let's start today's discussion with Chuck Shelby, a farmer and a broker out of Lafayette, Indiana. Chuck, you are in one of the very hardest hit areas, the most wet areas of the United States in the Corn Belt. Can you tell me about conditions in your fields?
Well, I think Indiana, north of Lafayette, is one of the hardest hit areas around. As you go south, there is some improvement. I think it is a historic event here as long as this rain has lasted. But I think there's effects on the crop. We've got the later planted corn that's yellow and stunted, and I don't think it's ever going to really recover much. The bigger, taller, earlier planted corn is in better shape, but a couple issues there is how much nitrogen's left. We've been doing some testing on fields, and not surprising, a lot of fields don't have much left that look really good now. The other factor yet to come would be the disease factor. On the bean side, we have beans that are really small and really struggling. The earlier planted beans really aren't at the height they need to be. And as we go forward, I mean, I think it's a time issue. We're getting into July here, and we're really behind on our growth rate on these beans.
Are you moving into pollination at this point for part of your corn crop? And what's happened with the stunted crop in that respect?
Well, the earlier planted corn is starting to tassel and pollinate, but it's really uneven. When you look at the later planted corn, I don't know that it ever will. I mean, it's really, really hurt so bad that I don't know that it's ever going to make much corn. So the corn, it has some hope. I mean, I think the biggest issue, a lot of guys just have to consider, you know, do they need nitrogen? A lot of guys, is it worth the cost against the price of corn to go out and try to rescue this crop, whether it be fungicide or nitrogen? So in the worst areas, that is a big question for a lot of guys. Is it really salvageable at this point in time?
And I think most of the agronomists, and I don't know whether you agree with them or not, would tell you no, that it's not.
We have an agronomist that works out of our office. That's one of the advantages we have, and it's really field by field. Again, we've tested a lot of our fields, and you get results from hardly any nitrogen left, and then you have to look at your stand. You have to look at, you know, your crop. How much revenue do you have? What kind of levels do you have? And you have to make that decision. So there's some tough decisions out here on a lot of this crop that yet need to be made, but some fields are savable. A lot of guys are thinking they can try it, but others say it's just not worth it at this point in time.
Chip Nellinger, USDA, this morning released the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates for corn. It shows ending stocks now at 1.779 billion bushels. And for this year and for next year, 1.599 billion bushels. There was a point in time where both of those numbers were above 2 billion bushels. It reflects a really changing commodity trade. However, the move in the marketplace, for corn at least, hasn't been that large yet. Is there more room to the upside?
I think there is eventually. I think the take-home for me was that the market did just kind of shrugged off these unchanged yield estimates. So that tells me the market somewhat obviously has it figured out that we're for sure not going to be trend line. Now the question becomes just how much have we hurt yield? So that's going to take several more months. I do think there's more upside. However, I think that we're in for kind of a roller coaster in here. You mentioned earlier all these outside market influences with Greece and China and big currency market fluctuations. I don't think it's straight up, but I do think now, especially the funds are in a more of a buy the dip mentality than a sell the rally mentality, like they were, you know, the previous 2 to 6 months. So I do think there's more upside, but I think the easy ride is over, if you want to, you know, put a cliche out there.
Your assessment of this morning's USDA reports, Jackie Vakes.
Well, I agree very much with Chip. I think when you look at the reaction to the report and the fact that they didn't change any of the yields and yet we couldn't get through 450, I think it more or less says that we have to always remember we bring in South American selling against these markets when this happens too. And so if you look back, I mean, there's a lot of people talking about the 93 chart, and this particular report put in the nearby high on the 93 chart, and then they wanted to have more real numbers. Now, you know, we've got to go away until August till we've got somebody tramping around out in the fields to tell us the numbers. So I think in general, it was expected, and yet I certainly did not expect to see the wheat numbers go up the way they did. You know, 459 million bushels on the world level for 14-15 and 685 million bushels for 15-16. And I did a lot of digging to find out why they came up with those numbers, and it all goes back to China. They said the decline came because Chinese wheat feeding started to decline already in 2014 and has just continued to do that. Plus, they have some additional stocks on hand. And so, you know, I think it's a stark reminder of what can happen. Now, I am not minimizing what's going on in Illinois or Indiana or anywhere else, but I can tell you that if you talk to guys in the Minnesota area, the North Dakota area, the South Dakota area, the Nebraska area, one of my clients in Nebraska said this morning, you know, right now I got dry land corn that could probably yield 200 if we get at least another rain, if not two. And so we have to always keep that in mind. You know, the trade tends to focus strictly on the three I's. They don't focus on anything else. And we don't hear a whole lot about Iowa. Northern Iowa guys are very quiet about how good their crop is up there. They're not saying much. And so I think we just have to be careful that that we don't get so wrapped up in the fervor and not take advantage of some of the opportunities, whether it's to buy a put or to make some sales. I've heard some places where basis is better over in Indiana by Chuck, and where basis is actually worse in Illinois in a lot of places. So I think it's an opportunity to just explore all the options that you've got.
Chuck, it really is a division of haves and have-nots potentially for grains and oil seeds. Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska versus Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, I think at this point there's kind of there's been a lot of rainfall in lots of places. And I wonder if you've been able to balance that out in your mind and how you feel about this marketplace for both corn and soybean and its potential moves, whether those are sideways, higher or lower.
Well, I think in our mindset, we will give those other states out west one of the best yields probably you could get out there, but from Ohio through Missouri, it's certainly going to be much less. And what we look at is the national average yield. We were the lowest in the guess. I think the point being 166, where the USDA is now, is one of the second highest yield ever. If you bring the yield down just to 161 or 162, those are still third, fourth highest yields ever. So we're not saying it's a failure, but you plug in the 162 or 161 and you take some harvested acres down or lost acres, your carryouts tighten up to 1.2 or 1.1 billion. So we're not saying it's a total failure. We're just saying you drop the yield down and see where the carryouts are. And we think that really says the prices need to go higher over time. Also, I traded 1993, and by fall when we got to harvest, then that's when the market really took off, because mm-hmm. then they realized how bad the damage was.
Yep. Yeah, I think you said a mouthful right there, Chuck, from the standpoint that I think that's what it's going to really take for us to really go to the higher prices. I'm with Chip. I think we could see pullbacks. I think we could see a 30-cent pullback without any problems at all in corn and still be in a market that could move higher because of ultimately the way it's going to be. Beans are the big question. You know, where are the losses going to be? Are the majority of losses going to be in the full-season beans, or are the majority of the losses going to be in the double-crop beans? And, you know, anytime you pull out lower production numbers, it gives you a higher average. So I'm wondering what USDA is going to show up with in August as to, you know, what their survey actually said about what was planted and what wasn't.
Yeah, so, Chip, there were some interesting numbers in the supply and demand figures. For both corn and soybeans, they left their yields as the same as they have been, 166.8 for corn and 46 bushels to the acre for soybeans. For soybeans, they added acres. For the harvested acres, they went from 83.7 to 84.4, and they reduced acreage for harvested acres by a little, 81.7 to 81.1 for the corn. How do you put all those numbers into your supply and demand figure tables now?
Well, I think that's what the market's going to struggle with. And I think to some extent, the market is to look past this. My two cents is that that's been the most frustrating issue the last couple of years in my mind is, do we have a good, solid acreage number? What's going to confuse this market for months to come? It's not just going to be the August crop report. You know, there's going to be more questions than answers from this resurvey. Is the resurvey going to be intended acreage that's planted? Is it going to include prevent plant? We're going to get monthly reports starting in August from the RMA on prevent plant numbers. Those are always a moving target. I really think that we could be seeing this market debate final crop size all the way to the January crop report, because each report that comes out potentially could cause more questions than it answers.
But I think this market started out with such a bearish slant to start with, mm-hmm. and such a low prices that, again, we're you look at the beans in the same way. We're at a 46 yield, second highest ever. That's unrealistic. A 43 or 44 would be a great yield. When you look at the lateness of these planted bean acres and you look at the unplanted acres, to have a national average yield in the low 40s is a realistic number when you look at the states that have big problems. As you go forward, again, look at what the USDA did and where the carryout is now, 255. Last January, we started at 410. So they've underestimated demand or overestimated last year's yield. So as we go forward, I call this a realizing market. It's realizing that it's caught the wrong way. End users are not covered. Livestock feeders are not covered because they thought we were going to have.
Well, you know, the one thing I guess I will step up and defend USDA. They don't normally ever change yields on this report. They change yields when we get into the August report, when they actually get out into the fields. And I would expect we will see the drop at that point in time in terms of what goes on. And I think, you know, most of the people in the trade understand that. That's, you know, this number that we saw today was nothing more than an adjustment to the acreage number that came in at the end of June. And we know from the USDA, they put out a letter that explained that when they ask intended acres, they also ask how many acres were unplanted at that time. And so they have a really good handle on, if the farmer was honest with them, on how many planted acres there are. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at how much rain has fallen in the double crop areas or in any of the other areas to be able to know if the markets or if the crop is moving forward. So I think that the August report is going to give us a lot more information all the way around. But, you know, anytime you look at when you looked at the USDA report that came out, or the June acreage report that came out, and you saw the reaction to that report. This is being driven a great deal by outside money. We better be careful. That's all I'm going to say, because anytime you have these outside guys, and I think Chip's right, instead of selling rallies right now, they're buying dips. But eventually they get so much information, and there's not a lot of information between now and the August report unless we get more rain, more rain, more rain, and eventually that wears itself out. So I think from a risk management standpoint, you have to really look. If we can get into higher levels, do some protection.
All right, so I'd like to, and I think this is actually pretty clear, at least for two of you, but I want to make sure I have this right. Jackie, what is your stance on the corn market and the soybean market going forward at this time?
Well, I think we can move forward. If we get rain over the weekend, I think we'll take another step high, but I think we're starting to run out of some gas here, especially today when we couldn't even get back up to the 1040 level on November beans. We are flirting at the moment on corn. We actually traded and closed above the monthly trend line, which is in place since October 1st through March 1st, and today is the first time we've done that. So we'll see if we can finish that again next week. On the Novembers, however, we didn't manage to do that. And the trend line is in place since May 1st, you know, through this past month. These are monthly trend lines. And so, you know, we have to be aware of that and knowing that, you know, we traded and we finished right on it. So I think to have a pullback in November beans, you got to have a close below 1035. You know, below 1035. We're at 1022. You got to get a close in here that's going to come down to probably about $10, and that's already a step back. But going forward, I think, you know, we are going to be very sensitive to weather. I really think that we could go higher, but I'm not sure that's in the cards for the next two or three weeks.
And Chuck Shelby, where do you stand at this point? I think Chuck is still with me, although we had a little okay. And where do you stand?
I believe this market's going higher. But I don't know if it's going to go at an accelerated pace. I think it's going to have those reports coming down the road. I mean, when you look at beans, the carryout was 425. That's still a big number, so the trade looks at that. But if you, again, lower those yields in upcoming reports, it tightens it up pretty dramatically. So there's more upside in our mindset, but it's a process. And, again, it's a realizing market that's going to take some time and more information to get it to higher levels.
And Chip, I'll let you have the final word on this question. Where do you stand?
Well, I agree with Jackie to the extent that the August crop report is going to tell us more. However, the way the USDA typically goes about that is they've got five more reports to make changes on, and they usually ease into it. So even if they think, uh-oh, we need to drop corn yields 10 bushels in August, they typically don't do. They ease into it because conditions change, and they have a long time frame. It goes with what everyone's saying, that to keep going higher, you need to constantly feed a bull market. I think what's important is there's so many different situations this year. If you're in the Eastern Corn Belt and you have crop insurance, figure what your spring guarantee was, divide that by what you think your acreage, your total yield is right now. In a lot of cases, in the 420s and 430s, your crop insurance is kicking in. That's a way different situation than if you're in Decatur, Illinois, or northern Indiana, and you've got one of the best crops ever coming. That's an entirely different mindset, entirely different strategy.
Yep.
Also, the thing that we've brought home here is we all think prices can move higher. I think you'll see $5. I don't know if you'll see $5 ahead of harvest. So if you have to move everything between now and harvest, you better be making some plans on how to do that versus if you can store your whole crop and you've got a time frame that you can wait all the way out into next year. So there's lots of moving targets here. And, you know, take home, we're probably going higher, but when do we do that and what is the right marketing plan for each individual?
Chip Nellinger is with Blue Reef Agri Marketing, joins us on this edition of Commodity Week. Our other panelists include Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, and Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson. We'll have more in just a moment on the commodity markets and the USDA's World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. July so far has been cooler and wetter than average. The statewide temperature is 69 degrees, and that's 6 degrees below average. The statewide average rainfall for the month so far is 2.1 inches, which is about double for what it should be for this time of the month. In general, most of the state has received between 1 and 3 inches, while areas in far southern Illinois south of Interstate 64 have received 3 to 5 inches. As expected, the cool, wet weather has had a negative impact on crop quality, especially in low-lying areas, and is slowing down soybean planting and wheat harvest. According to the National Weather Service, we will finally get back to July-like weather this weekend and next week. Highs on Saturday will be in the low 80s in northern Illinois to the mid-80s in central Illinois and the upper 80s and low 90s in southern Illinois. Highs on Sundays will be warmer still and in the upper 80s and low 90s across the state. That pattern will continue through Tuesday. Temperatures will cool slightly later in the week and range from the low 80s in the north to the mid-80s and upper 80s in central and southern Illinois. There is a 50 to 70% chance of rain on Saturday and Sunday across northern and central Illinois. For the rest of the week, there is a slight chance of afternoon thunderstorms every day. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
This is the July 10 edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing out of Morton, Illinois, Jackie Vakes from Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County, Illinois, and Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. In the first segment of our show, we explored the USDA's World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate for the month of July and new crop pricing. We'll now take up the price of old crop corn and soybeans. I started with Chuck Shelby.
Well, we've certainly got an opportunity we didn't think we had available. I think if you're in the eastern Corn Belt in some of these areas and you got some old crop left, you need to evaluate, do you need that to replace bushels you forward contracted? But I think there's an opportunity here that market can show some strength here. I look for an improving basis as end users in the eastern Corn Belt look to cover with old crop bushels, bushels that they know they're not going to be available for new crop because of such a crop failure in areas. Same thing on the bean market. I think the bean market on old crop beans has got some opportunities we didn't think, but really as you go forward, August might be the month when beans may get even more excited if we get that yield reduction.
Chip?
Well, if you held them this far, you might as well keep going given the uncertainty. As a rule, we don't have very much old crop left at this point, but if you do have a few stocks on hand and you waited this long, you know, the odds are now in your favor that we could see some higher prices.
And Jackie.
Well, I agree with both of these guys, but the one thing that I do want to bring out, and we have totally ignored it, is South America. And we already know that we've got cargoes of corn coming into the southeastern United States. So don't ever think they can't do that to us if they want to, because they have record crops down there. And so, you know, if they were in a short situation, I might feel different about it. But I think that we could find out that all of a sudden we've driven our prices to a point where they already lowered corn exports today, that where we could actually see that happening to us. So I just want to say be cautious. And I agree with Chuck in the eastern Corn Belt. I know the basis is getting better because you got a lot of short-bought ethanol plants. Take advantage of it. In fact, basis might do the heavy lifting rather than the futures.
I think I can take that as your final word. Chuck Shelby, what do you have as a final word for the day?
Well, a market we started out the springtime, we didn't think we're going to have much volatility, and we turned into an extremely volatile time. And as we go forward, I think there's more uncertainty, which means more opportunity for producers. And we've got a long ways to go till we know the answer where this crop really ends up.
And Chip Nellinger.
Well, I just reiterate what I said earlier, that there are a lot of variables. You have to take into account what your individual situation is, what your crop insurance is, what your storage capacity is, and now is not the time to take your eye off the ball. It's more important than ever to get a plan and have that in place and keep an eye on this market.
Jackie, just enough time for one more word from you.
Well, I'm just going to – I think Chip hit it right on the head. You got to have a plan is what you've got to do. And you have to know your individual situation because it is very, very different from one county to the next and one state to the next.
You've been listening to Illinois Public Media's Commodity Week. The program can be found online at WILLAG.org anytime you'd like. In fact, all of our agricultural programming is posted there each and every business day of the year. The address again is www.WILLAG.org. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Our panelists today included Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson from Champaign, Illinois, and Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri Marketing out of Morton, Illinois. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, reminding you to visit a couple of other websites from the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. They include the Crop Sciences Pest Management website called The Bulletin. Just search Google for The Bulletin, Illinois, and the FarmDoc website, farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. You have a great weekend.